May what is spoken and what is heard be in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
I will not leave you orphaned, Jesus says. What a claim. Now, if you have to tell someone, you will not totally abandon them. It is probably because they are already afraid of being without you. In today's gospel, Jesus was giving his disciples last-minute instructions and responding to their anxiety just hours before his arrest, trial, and crucifixion. He promises, "I will not leave you orphaned." But how he's going to keep that promise is unclear. In fact, in just a few days, the disciples will feel as though they had been abandoned. When Jesus loses his life, the disciples also suffer loss. For those he leaves behind, there is grief. There is the loss of their leader, their friend, and their sense of security and relative safety in the world. The disciples take refuge, fearfully hiding behind locked doors, isolated from family, friends, communities, the rest of the world. We can only wonder where his mother Mary was in those days. This weekend, we observe Memorial Day. According to Wikipedia, there are many versions of exactly when and how Memorial Day started in our nation. But it is pretty clear that by 1866, in both the North and the South, people were decorating graves of the fallen Union and Confederate soldiers sometime in May. Today, it remains a moment in our civic life to take seriously the human cost of wars and the cost to those who fight them. Just as the death of Jesus resulted in more than the loss of its most obvious casualty, so the human cost of wars have always been higher than we even know how to count. Beyond the loss of those who died are the cost to all who grieve, those who came back wounded in body, mind, or spirit, in need of care that may be under-resourced. What to do for those overcome by sadness of it all? Andrew Solomon writes, "Blunt the isolation. Do it with cups of tea or long talks, or just by sitting in a room nearby." I was reminded recently of a documentary made in 2009 entitled "The Way We Get By." It is the story of three senior citizens, all of declining health and many challenges, who find strength, meaning, and purpose in greeting returning troops, the majority of whom, believe it or not, re-enter the U.S. through the Bangor, Maine airport. Jerry is sometimes slowed down by heart problems, but as soon as he can get up, he is out there greeting troops. Joan, mother of eight children and many grandchildren, including a couple who have served in the war in Afghanistan, suffers from constant pain so that she is forced to sleep in a chair. But she is out there every hour of the day and night at the airport. Bill, a World War II vet, widowed many years ago, just died this past February, 2014, after a battle with illness. You can see a trailer of this film by Googling "The Way We Get By." As of March 2014, these three and their colleagues, called the Maine Troop Greeters, have welcomed 1,441,653 troops back home at every hour of the day and night. Troops who have lost friends, their jobs, their clear sense of day-to-day purpose, who have missed months or years of family life, and expect to enter an empty airport at 3 a.m., find a handshake, a hug, a cell phone to call home, and in general, a sense that there is a place for them again. From the first moment, they are not totally abandoned. Any sense of isolation they feel might be blunted. The promise of the Spirit to the disciples is a promise from Jesus to blunt their isolation. I will ask the Father, and he will give you an advocate to be with you forever, he says. Another translation for advocate might be one who stands beside another. Under threat, we sometimes talk about someone having our back. But in peacetime, the better image may be someone who stands right beside you. You are not alone. So to his disciples, Jesus describes the gift of the Spirit with them, and he says to them, in essence, it is as if I am right by your side. In the days and weeks after the disciples experienced Jesus' resurrection, they are drawn by the Spirit into something new. They become a church, a community of people who are bound together by the Spirit in love for one another. They are, as instructed, keeping Jesus' commandment to love one another as I have loved you. The love of God, given and received in a community like that, offers healing and belonging to replace isolation. This is surely one of the gifts of the Spirit to us. A gift that is meant to be shared with each and every person who comes through our doors and beyond. Jesus does not let his friends drift alone or suffer isolation or neglect, and neither, my friends, must we. The Spirit empowers us to continue to build community that has Eucharistic visitors and friendly visitors and prayer shawls and Martha's meals and fellowship meals and more, and dare I even say it, the 7-minute rule, to remember that, which is a way to carry out the intention to engage all our brothers and sisters in Christ who come through our doors, including the ones we do not yet know. In all these activities and so many others, the Spirit empowers us to be Christ's arms, Christ's hands, Christ's lips to one another and the world. Although the way we get by does not speak of any religious motivation, it is a shining example to us, I think, about what it means to love others selflessly and sometimes at cost to ourselves, but also reaping great rewards of a life of love, the path that Jesus commended to us as the way of life. I will not leave you orphaned, Jesus says. And together with God's Spirit, we aren't. Amen.
Amen.